And what the brothers say whenever they groan and say something is, oh no, here comes Joseph. So let's try that. The brothers groaned and said,
oh no, here comes Joseph.
All right, so listen for that phrase as we go through the story. So Joseph was daddy's favorite. Okay, he was the youngest of 12 brothers, and they were all shepherds. And Joseph was a little bit of a brat. Okay, he would watch his older brothers, and if they did anything wrong, he would go and tattle on them to daddy. And so sometimes he would bring them their lunch. And when his brothers saw him coming, they would groan and say,
oh no, here comes Joseph.
And sometimes he would come at the end of the day and call them to come home for the evening. And his brothers would groan and say,
oh no, here comes Joseph.
Well, one day he was bringing them their lunch and he had a brand new coat on. And it was different than any of their coats. It had long sleeves, it went almost all the way to the floor, and it was very bright and colorful. And it looked more like a robe that a king would wear than a shepherd. And the brothers said, where did you get that? And he says, oh, Daddy gave it to me. Isn't it pretty? And then he twirled around so that the bottom of it flared out like a bell, and he showed off. And then he went home after delivering lunch, and he left them to work out in the fields with sheep. Right? Well, that was it. His brothers had it. They were like, we're not putting up with this anymore. And they decided to do something very evil. They decided to kill Joseph. Well, all of them but one, the oldest brother, Reuben, he didn't want to kill Joseph. He was, you know, angry at Joseph, but he didn't want to kill him. So he convinced all the others to just take Joseph and throw him in a pit and let him die naturally in there. And of course, his plan was that later on, when nobody was looking, he would come and rescue Joseph. So that evening, when Joseph showed up to bring them home for the evening, they didn't groan and say, oh no, here comes Joseph. Instead, they grabbed him and they pulled his coat off and they threw him in this pit that was so far away from everything that even if he yelled and yelled and yelled, nobody could hear him. All right, and then they went off, and what did they do? They had a feast. They had a big banquet. They were so happy. We got rid of this guy. Hallelujah. You know, they were happy. Well, during that feast, some travelers came through, some traders, a caravan came through. And they saw the caravan, and one of the middle brothers had a brilliant idea. He said, we don't have to kill Joseph, let's just sell him to them as a slave. And then we can make some money. So that's what they did. So Reuben wasn't able to rescue him after all. However, that's not the end of the story. That's the end of the reading today. But that's not the end of the story. The story goes on quite a bit longer. And in this story, what happens is that God has another plan that the brothers didn't know about. And that was that there was a famine coming. And everybody would die, all of Joseph's family would have died of starvation. Except that God sent him to Egypt and put him in a position of authority. And so when the famine did come, Joseph was able to save his whole family and the whole land of Egypt. So God had a plan in here that Joseph and his brothers didn't know about. But in order to save his family and to save the whole land of Egypt, Joseph had to do something really, really difficult. By the end of the story, Joseph had to learn to forgive his brothers. Because his brothers come to him and they don't recognize him. And Joseph recognizes them. And so by doing this very difficult thing, by learning to forgive his brothers and to remember that they were still his brothers, even though they had done an awful thing to him, that he still loved them as he loved his whole family. So that is what Joseph had to do to be able to save his family. So he started looking forward instead of backwards. and moved beyond it. And that's where we're going to stay. Take a moment now. If you look at the front of your bulletin, you have a part of the page. Joseph in the coat of many colors. Some of you have already started coloring it. I want us to take just a moment and have a little quiet time where we can sit and think on that for a moment, and then we'll move forward. Okay. So now we have a second story to tell. This is the gospel story. And I need help with this one, too. And this is the story of Jesus walking on the water. And Peter not quite seeing at walking on the water. So I think we're going to have some disciples come up. And we've got some coming in from the nursery right now. Will they come? Okay. So, let's see. I'm going to ask the disciples to come over here. So come on over here, disciples. That includes Peter. No, we're up here right now. We're not in the boat yet. Okay? And I want Jesus to come over here. Jesus is wearing pink today. Okay. So, you want to come up and be a disciple? You want to come up and be a disciple in the boat? You can if you'd like. So, we're going to hear the story about Jesus today. Jesus had had a really difficult day. He had gotten some bad news about a very close friend who had died. And he tried to have some time alone to think about it, but there were so many people who wanted to see him that they wouldn't leave him alone. So what did he have to do? Well, they were all hungry, so he fed them. And after he'd done that, then he sent them all away. And then he told the disciples,
in the boat and go ahead of us.
Okay, so you guys get in the boat. Let's up here. And Jesus, here we go. So come on in the boat. And then Jesus went up on a mountain. I got a mountain for you right there. Okay? And Jesus went up on the mountain to be alone for a little while and to pray and so on. And he stayed up on that mountain for a very long time. So long that it got dark and a storm started to move in. And the storm was a terrible storm. Now, these disciples, a lot of them were fishermen, so they had been in boats a lot in their lives. And the storm was so bad that they were scared. They were scared. Sure, you're scared. Alright? And just as the storm seemed to be getting at its worst, they saw something coming towards them. They saw something coming towards them, and they couldn't quite figure out what it was. They couldn't see it. But as they got closer, first they thought it was a boat, and then they realized it was a person. But this person wasn't swimming. This person was walking on the water. And they got so scared. What did they think?
It's a ghost! It's a ghost! It's a ghost!
So they screamed. Jesus, when he heard their screams, he said, "It's just me." And then Peter, who of course was like, "Yeah, right." Right? What did Peter say?
"Well, if it's really you, call me to walk on the water."
And Jesus said, "Okay, come on up." And so Peter stepped out of the boat and got up on the water and walked. But the whole time he was watching Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Peter noticed how bad the storm was. And he got scared, and he started to sink. But Jesus reached out and grabbed him and saved him. All right, then they stepped into the boat. They stepped into the boat. And suddenly the storm stopped.
Yay! Yay.
was the first time that a lot of them really realized how special Jesus was, that he was different. So as we look at this story, I just want to point out that in this story, Jesus doesn't call Peter to do something difficult like Joseph had to do in the first story. Jesus called Peter to do something impossible. Right? And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he could do it. But as soon as he looked away, he sank. Right? But Jesus' response, when Peter was trying to do something impossible and he failed, Jesus' response was not to condemn him or to abandon him. Jesus reached out and helped him and took him someplace safe, back into the boat, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I'd like us to remember as we move through these difficult days. I think that we often can think that the struggle for equality that we're facing in our world today, it feels impossible at times. I know it does to me. There's so much hate, there's so much anger, there's so much just disregard for what other people need, so much willingness to go to violence as a solution. It feels impossible to face this. But Jesus asked Peter to do the impossible. He couldn't do it all. He did a couple of steps. And then Jesus had to take him someplace safe. I think that in these days, one of the things we need to remember as we're facing this impossible task in front of us is that we can't do it all on it. We can all do a little bit. And that's all we can do. But it's important that we all do that little bit that we can do. So as was mentioned, this afternoon there's going to be a rally. I don't know what that will accomplish, but you know what? The more people that are there showing support for equality and love and the more positive side of life and showing that we won't tolerate the hatred and the violence, that's something we can do, just to be present. Not saying that's for everybody. Not everybody is comfortable going to a rally. I'm sure there are other things that can be done as well. Just doing wonderful things for the people around you and keeping your little corner of the world focused on the love and the light. That might mean cooking something for a neighbor, helping somebody when they need a ride, those kinds of things. The food pantry here is certainly providing that kind of service to the larger community who is often underserved. So as we go into the week this week, remember, you might only get a couple of steps on the walking on the water thing. You know, you might only be able to do a couple of little things, but those little things are really important. Amen. Amen.